How You Entrepreneurs. Today we have a fun one. We have Sean Welcheff. He is Kelly Comfort. He is the heart of Kelly Comfort. He has built this barbecue empire in San Diego. He is a sports fanatic. He tells us kind of the ins and outs of how he learned the business and how he succeeds. So please tell your friends, please subscribe. Love to hear your feedback.
Welcome to the road to growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm gonna show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with real estate agent Vinny SD.
All right, thank you, Sean Welcheff with Kelly Comfort. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so you're also a podcaster too, but you also own a restaurant, correct?
Correct.
What's more stressful?
Definitely owning the restaurant, but anybody that gets into the podcasting game, my kudos and my hats are off to you. I'm someone that's trying to sell houses like you are, and then you're spending time interviewing restaurant owner. Good for you. It's definitely a very cool way to get information out, to share stories.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the thing that we've seen really in the last 2 years of podcasting. It's one of the things that we love the most is that we get to share stories with not just people here in San Diego, but people all over the world.
So you have 96 episodes, you're telling me?
96 episodes every week, every Friday. Oh, we try to get a new episode out. Yeah.
Is it a daunting task?
It's a very daunting task. It has to, when you're doing content marketing or context marketing, you really have to put it at top of mind. It's got to be something that, I mean, podcasting, the amount of time and effort it takes to get everything set up, to publish the episode, to do your pre-show, your post-show, and depending on what you're trying to do to get it out on all your social media channels, it takes a lot of work, a lot of time. I have a team. I've got an incredible team. I've got two producers, actually. We've come a long way. Me and my co-host, Derek Marso, who owns a butcher shop. So I own the restaurant. He owns a butcher shop. And then we have two guys that work their ass off to help put out the podcast every week.
Well, so that's kind of interesting. So the butcher shop and the restaurant, how did you guys come together?
So we came together. I opened up Cali Comfort Barbecue in Spring Valley. For those of you that don't know where Spring Valley is located, it's kind of off the beaten path in San Diego. It's East County, San Diego, about 11 miles east of Petco Park. And it's in a part of town that I know in real estate, it's location, location, location. let's put it this way. In 2008, if you're opening up any business, I was fortunate to grow up in La Jolla with a lot of wealthy friends and a lot of wealthy families around me. And they all thought that I had lost my mind, that I told them I was going to open up a restaurant in Spring Valley. 2008, me and one of my best friends from college, we opened up Cali Comfort. We had about 18 employees, did about 400,000 in sales that first year, and it was hard. It was hard as hell.
Yeah.
But the dream was really just to take an existing liquor license, a Type 47 license, and turn it into a sports bar.
Yeah.
It was an existing breakfast restaurant, and we wanted to expand on that, add dinner service, but add a place where families could go and enjoy watching the game. That first year, we had a bunch of families coming in for Pop Warner and local youth sports that wanted to do fundraising. The fundraising got to a point where we always want to give back. I mean, it's one of our founding principles is giving back into the community. And for us, we thought, hey, why don't, instead of doing these every week, why don't we do one thing per year that becomes kind of like a community event?
Yeah.
And we threw around some ideas, came up with the idea of, hey, let's do an amateur barbecue contest. Well, that's great. But I don't know anything about barbecue. Yeah. I don't know anything about running a contest. So how are we going to do this? It was a big challenge. We ended up finding somebody by the name of Gene Goycochea, who's a local expert in barbecue. He had competed in world championships, won world championships, been members of the Kansas City Barbecue Society, wow, National Barbecue Association. And he said, if you're doing it for charity, I'll help you.
How'd you find him?
Just through context, we contacted Kansas City Barbecue Society. We competed in one of the barbecue contests, finished last place, probably got disqualified in multiple categories. But we learned then that professional barbecue, they do things very seriously.
Yeah.
They had probably $500,000 rigs. Some of those teams, they compete, 50 weeks out of the year. They put their life investment into their passion for cooking. And for us, we needed somebody to help us organize this amateur charity event. The first sponsor that I got was Derek Marceau, who owns Valley Farm Market, the butcher shop. So I got him to donate the meat for all the amateur barbecue teams. Wow. That was kind of the start of our barbecue journey together.
So so you got into the business, really knowing the business.
Yeah.
Okay. You find a top butcher. Or basically,
yes. They've been in business for 60 years.
Okay, so. And then you find a top, basically, barbecue master.
Correct.
How do you call it?
Yes.
That's a smart way of doing it, right there. Huh?
Well, yeah, I guess when you break it down like that, I guess probably one of my best talents is recruiting.
Yeah. Okay.
Recruiting people outside of my field that know whatever field they're in, because certainly someone that grew up in San Diego, I mean. The fact that I own a barbecue restaurant is kind of laughable when I go to Kansas City Barbecue Society, a National Barbecue Society. Not only are we talking about barbecue and running a barbecue restaurant, but we're podcasting about barbecue and we're talking to other barbecue heavyweights. You know, these are people that actually spent their lives in barbecue. We've been doing it for 10 years, but we still consider ourselves amateurs, even though people look from the outside and they say that we're experts.
So how many different moments when you're interviewing these other barbecue masters or experts, do you go, wow, I've never really thought about doing that to seasoning or doing that kind of way of doing it? Or
all the time.
Okay.
The best part about the world that we live in and the last 10 years of running Cali Comfort Barbecue and doing the podcast is we live in the information age.
Yeah.
I mean, there's never been a time where it's so easy to get access to experts, to people that, you know, have the same passions that we do, that care about things that we care about. And yeah. We can listen to it on a podcast. We can watch it on YouTube. We can Google it. We can find an article about it. It's just the access to information is so easy that no matter what you care about, you can really dig deep and improve your life.
So, okay. So let's jump back. So 2008, first year, just kind of getting going. 2009, 2010, it starts getting easier.
No, nothing gets easier. No, people don't get into restaurants for a reason. It's something that you have to love the grind. You have to love, you know, because no matter what part, so many different people get into the restaurant business. Mm-hmm. Some people are great cooks. You know, I'm definitely not a great cook. Some people are, you know, do a great job marketing. That's something that I have strengths in. Some people are great with operations. Some people, you know, there's just so many different types of people that get into restaurants, but in order to last, you have to have a persistence and a will to know that things will go wrong. And when they go wrong, what are you going to do to make sure that, you know, that lawsuit, you know, when somebody comes and they sue us, we've been sued for having a ladies' night promotion where we would give a discount on martinis to women that came into the bar, and we got sued by three men that said that we were price discriminating against them. And, you know, what do? You fight it in court? Yeah. Do you learn how to settle? Do you, you know, I'm going to go against my principles. Am I going to hire a good attorney? I'm going to try to save money. Am I going to tender this to my insurance company? You really just have to be willing to go through all that hell and know that even once you get through it, there's going to be more hell to come. It allows you to embrace, you know, the things that we love the most, to watch, you know, going from 18 employees to now we have 67 employees. We're doing over $3 million in sales. We've grown significantly. You know, we sell barbecue down at Pechanga Arena, which is a sports arena.
Yeah.
So for Justin Timberlake, who just came through, I mean, we have people tweeting us photos of, you know, pulled pork nachos that they're eating at the concert. They're going to Gulls hockey games, eating our barbecue. It's something really cool for us to see.
Yeah, and talking about the sports teams here, you have a pretty good affiliation with the sports teams,
don't you? We do. We, you know, back to what I said earlier, the passion for the restaurant really was on the sports entertainment side, the liquor license that allowed us to really turn a breakfast restaurant into a place where, you know, here on the West Coast, 10 a.m. NFL Sunday, you know, we kick off first round of games. So if you could have a place where you could feel like you could take your wife and your kids, have an incredible breakfast, but also watch the game that dad wants to watch, that was kind of why we dove in. We always show fight night. Fight night's a thing that we hold true. So UFC fights, pay-per-view boxing, MLB. I mean, it really doesn't matter. This weekend, we're going to be doing an esports watch party. I mean, you just have to be flexible. Like I said, we're in Spring Valley. So if you come to Spring Valley, even when you put in your GPS and you arrive there and you see tire shops and liquor stores, it's commercial, it's industrial, it's residential. There's churches, there's playgrounds, there's houses. And you're like, this place doesn't even make any sense. And then you come to our restaurant, you're like, is this really the right place? And yeah, it is. It's a converted house. It was a converted two-bedroom house that's an add-on to an add-on, you know, but we make it work.
Nice, nice. So being a local San Diegan, what are your sports teams?
Sports teams are Chargers. Okay. I'm the last Charger fan standing. Yeah. Got a lot of flack on that online. Enough to the point last season when they were winning that we got a New York Times. They came out and did an article on us.
Oh, gosh.
The Athletic did an article. All the local news stations. It's basically become a Scarlet Sports logo.
Yeah.
We're in the lightning bolt. You know, for us, it's just we've always been a Chargers bar. That's nothing that has ever changed. Do we wish they were here in San Diego? Absolutely. We love, you know, the Padres. We love the Gulls. We love the Seals. We love the Fleet. But we don't have an NFL team anymore.
So is it true any publicity is good publicity?
Absolutely.
So
P.T. Barnum.
Yeah. So is just, your sales.
Just make sure you spell my name right.
So have you seen any kind of effect being coming out as a Charger fan?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Is it higher revenue or lower revenue?
So the thing is, because we care so much about our digital presence, we care about Facebook, we care about Yelp, we care about our Google page, we care about our website, we care about Instagram, like all these things matter to us. And, you know, even to me personally, where I'm making sure that I'm learning how to use all those platforms, that when negative publicity does come and we've spent 10 years actually doing good work, putting on charity events in the community, no matter what people's opinion are of the Chargers, we had people standing up and saying, hey, you shouldn't be saying things about Cali Comfort, because no matter what team they cheer for, like, they're good people and it's their business and it's their livelihood.
So coming over adversity, like being a Chargers fan in San Diego and the legal issues you've done in the past, what other stuff have you seen since 2008?
Since 2008, I mean, it's the greatest time to be in business, in my opinion. Okay. I mean, there's never been a time where, I mean, when we opened in 2008, I bought an ad in the Yellow Pages. I mean, that's laughable.
Wow.
You know, like 2007, the first iPhone came out.
Yeah.
So like 2008, the fact that we had to put an ad in the Yellow Pages, and like that was recommended business advice for marketing.
Yeah.
You know, look at how far we've come.
Yeah.
We've come a long way. And, you know, we live in a world now where people, they might have an opinion about Facebook. They might have an opinion about Instagram, or like, should I podcast for my business? What are the things that I should do for my business? And in our opinion, you should do all of them.
Yeah.
Like, you need to try to learn to use the tools that you can, because you need to be top of mind. I mean, I'm reading a book by John Hall called Top of Mind, and it's content marketing. You know, if you're not out there, if you're not in front of people, when people think about catering barbecue, I want them to think of Cali Comfort Barbecue. That's my job, to make sure that I'm at those sporting events. So when someone gets a suite down at the Gulls game, that they think, oh, hey, it'd be great to have brisket here. Hmm. Who are we going to call? Well, I know Cali Comfort does it. Let's have them come in.
So how do you stay, like, with technology growing at such a rapid pace, how do you stay in front of the curve?
By doing it.
Okay.
So, you know, it's one of those things, and I, you know, to be honest, I have no tech background, so it's not something that's come natural to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we first opened the restaurant in 2008, my best friend, I made fun of him for having a Facebook account. You know, I thought he was just had it to pick up chicks.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, why are you doing that? Yeah. And then when we couldn't get people to come into the restaurant, we were struggling to pay our bills, I found out that Facebook allowed you to set up a business page, and we could use that to tell people about what promotions we had, what happy hour, well, maybe not happy hour specials. Maybe that might have gotten me in trouble. But either way, I started using Facebook. I started using Instagram. And even along the way, you know, I had one of my best friends. He was running a website company, and I asked him if he could help me, because the website hosts that we were using, I had to email the website host to tell him, hey, we're having an upcoming fight. Can you put, you know, the new fight poster on the website and the details for if it's 21 and up, if there's a cover charge, if not, I'd wait 3 days. He'd send it back. It wouldn't be what I wanted, so I'd have to email him again. So I went to my buddy and I was like, can you help me with this? And, you know, Adam Harris, he said, hey, I'm going to put you on WordPress platform, which meant, I mean, it was like he was speaking Chinese to me.
Yeah,
I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, listen, you're going to sit down with me and my brother for 4 hours, and I'm going to teach you how to hyperlink something. And he's like, basically, if the platform isn't good enough that somebody with your education can't use it, then it's not a good platform.
Hmm.
And he enabled me to go in and empowered me, really, to go in to say, hey, you can update the website yourself. You know, you don't need some web design company to do that for you. And then from that time on, it was like, well, I can do Instagram myself. I can learn how to do Twitter myself. I can learn how to do Facebook. And now we've gotten to the point where I can bring on someone like Corey Wagner, who's part of my digital team, but it only helps exponentially because I can do it and he can do it. And then both of us can tag team it.
Nice. Nice. So you didn't have the background in technology. You didn't have the background in restaurants. What was your background?
I have no background. It's funny because when I was in school, I went to Boulder. I grew up in La Jolla. I went to Bishop's. I was very fortunate. My grandfather, he was from Bulgaria, an immigrant that was born in a village, had nothing. He literally taught himself how to become a medical doctor, went to Germany, taught himself German so that he could study German in medicine in Germany. During World War II, and he raised me, but he taught me about the values of hard work. And, you know, for me, when I went to school, I thought I wanted to study business. I went to business classes, and I absolutely hated them. I started taking sociology classes, absolutely loved them. I love people. I love finding out why people do what they do. Obviously, I love sports. And kind of it all came together when I found that hospitality is really the thing that brings everything together.
How did you know you wanted to go the barbecue route? Like, how did you pick that kind of food style?
Barbecue route? Well, you know, once the relationship with Gene started and he helped us put on that first Spring Valley tailgate and barbecue festival, he said, you know, if you want to learn how to do barbecue the right way, I'll show you. And the more that I started reading about it, the more I started listening to podcasts, watching YouTube shows, I realized that it was a craft. It was something that could be a real differentiator for us. We wouldn't just be just another restaurant in Spring Valley. It would be something where there were other craft barbecue restaurants coming up in San Diego, but not many.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, with somebody with this amount of wealth of knowledge, it would be good for us to do it. So we started slowly implementing, putting barbecue items onto our menu. We brought in his smoker. We brought in his rubs. We brought in the barbecue sauce, started working on the sides, and the more that we put it out there, the more we found out that people loved it. Wow. They loved it, and, you know, really, we made the point in 2010 to go all in and went from Cali Comfort to Cali Comfort BBQ.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we did a name change and really started focusing on doing craft barbecue.
That's fairly quick, 2 years, or what
yeah.
do you think?
Oh, yeah, 2 years, real quick.
So if you had looked at your younger self, like yeah. 2008 person, or maybe a new restaurant tier. What kind of advice would you give them getting into the business now?
You know, the most important thing is to always be learning.
Okay.
You know, is to know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And to be willing. You know, there's a restaurant periodical that I have read since we opened the restaurant, and it's Restaurant Owner. They have a website too, and it's a good restaurateur is always learning. And, you know, that's something my grandfather always taught me. Somebody that became a medical doctor and then started a real estate career, developed real estate properties. He never stopped learning in his life. And for me, that's something that we've been able to pivot as a business, you know, from a sports bar into a barbecue restaurant, into a restaurant that puts on catering offsite events. We put on amateur barbecue contests. We put on a professional barbecue contest at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club. For us to be able to do all that has just required consistent learning, but also reaching out and bringing in people that could really help build our team and give us advice and give us opportunities that we wouldn't have otherwise.
Where do you guys see yourself going in the future? Where is Cali Comfort going?
I think, you know, one of the most important things is just to continue to evolve, you know, with minimum wage increasing, with hospitality being, you know, there's something to be said when you walk into a restaurant. There's something that we talk to our staff about all the time is what we hate more than anything is a please seat yourself sign. It's the epitome of bad hospitality. But there's a reason why operators will put a please seat yourself. It's because it's a slow period in business and they don't want to pay to have a hostess or a manager up at the front of the restaurant. So please seat yourself. You all know what happens when you seat yourself. You don't get a menu in 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
You don't get served. Like, you get the worst service whenever you go please seat yourself. But we are going to continue to find ways to work on providing the best barbecue that we can, work on ways of promoting the barbecue style that we have on the West Coast. There's a lot of craft barbecue restaurants that we partner with to do our amateur event and our pro event, because it's really about celebrating all the great barbecue that's in San Diego, all the great barbecue that's in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, Oregon, Washington. Because when we go to places like Kansas City for the National Barbecue Association conference, we want them to know that, hey, there are great things going on here in San Diego. And it's not just San Diego barbecue. You know, we have a plethora of barbecue styles that come from different parts of the nation. So celebrating that is something that we're focused on.
Is there, and I wouldn't even know, but because in some areas there's more of a rub, barbecue is more of a rub, and some is more of a sauce. Is San Diego, what kind of?
Well, San Diego, we're a transplant city. Yeah. So we've kind of adopted whatever style the owner operator really has. So, okay. I mean, there isn't really a San Diego barbecue.
Okay.
California barbecue is tri-tip.
Okay.
So tri-tip Santa Maria style.
Yeah.
If you go to certain parts of the country, they don't even have tri-tip.
Oh, wow.
So they'll ask you, what are you talking about? But for us, we do a Kansas City style. So we'll do brisket. We have burnt ends. We have St. Louis style pork ribs that we'll fabricate. We do a sweet sauce on the side. But if you're at Memphis, you're doing a dry rub.
Well, for you listening out there, if you're not getting hungry right now, you have some problems going on. So how would people find you or find events for Cali Comfort? Listen to the podcast. What would be the best ways?
Listen to the podcast. Our podcast is Behind the Smoke, behindthesmokemedia.com. That'll take you to all the spots for where our podcast is at. We also have a YouTube page, but Cali Comfort Barbecue on pretty much every platform possible. Just tell Google, ask Alexa, ask Siri.
As soon as you get it,
it'll get you to us. We're not hiding on the internet. Let's put it that way.
You know, guys, again, if you just heard all that food, all that great information that you got right there, and you're not hungry, you're not excited to go to Cali Comfort, again, you're not a San Diegan. All right. Thanks again, Sean, for all your time. Do you have anything last thing to say?
No, I just appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing. The fact that you're giving entrepreneurs a platform to talk, it's really cool. So
keep
getting after it.
Please share, please subscribe, and tell your friends.
Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.vinnysd.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. Team Vinny SD, signing off.